God is real. He's real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me was just like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Can I take y'all to Scottsburg, Virginia? Jesus is real. Oh, he's real in my soul. Said Jesus is real, for he has washed and made me whole. Oh, his love for me, just like pure gold. Jesus is real, for I can feel him in my soul. One more time. Yes, God is real. Yes, God is real. He's real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. Oh, his love for me, just like pure gold. Yes, God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Psalm 119, verses 33 through 35. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Yes, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of your commandments, for there I delight. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. We want to just share with you as you're seated the subject, real answers. Real answers. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for your blessing today. Thank you for being with us in worship that we might learn together. And God, I pray that you would now speak to our hearts, help us to discern the truth, but not only to understand it, but God, that we would be able to practice it, to live according to your commands. We thank you again for this awesome privilege. Bless us now in our time together. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank Reverend Gibbons for opening up in our devotions, and Brother Joe for the music, and Deacon Mack for that fervent prayer. We thank God for being in the house of the Lord one more time. We're in Psalm 119, and as we've already stated, that it is based on an acrostic where they're using the Hebrew alphabet. And it's not important that you know Hebrew alphabets, but it is important that you know that this psalmist had something on his mind. Most of the psalm is devoted to paying attention to God's word. Pay attention to what God says to you. But then not only to pay attention and to be able to hear what God says, but the more important thing is to be able to do what God says. So we've made our way through four or five of the alphabets, and as we get to this one that is called Hey, everybody say Hey. Hey. You don't have to wave at anybody, but it's called that, and it is one of the alphabets that you would have as you talk about, such as the town of Hebron. It starts with that letter. It starts with that letter. And it's important for you to know that everything depends on God's word. Everything. The whole universe depends on God's word. And not only God's word, but if you look at what we're searching for in this life, we're searching for answers. We're searching for things that we can rely on, information that we can obtain. Now, God said in the beginning, don't eat from the tree of knowledge. And a lot of people scratch their head and say, wait a minute, why are you saying we can't have knowledge? And that tree of knowledge, you got to understand that it does not embrace love. All you get is facts. Even if they're true, there are still things that can't empower your life. Can we just have a front porch talk? A lot of people are depending on a lot of things to give them power through life, and while they think they have the right answer, they go away being deceived. Because the first thing that happened after Adam and Eve ate of that tree, deception set in. As a matter of fact, before Eve even took the bite, she was already deceived and thinking it sure does look good. And so sometimes in our life, we need to be warned, don't go that way. I'll get to that in just a minute. But let's kind of talk about some things, information. We're in an information age, right? We're in an information age, and we think about who's handling this information and how do we get it. And so we've come up with the term, if you're looking for something, you Google it. Well, I did a little bit of research, and I found out that Google is pretty big at this thing. Matter of fact, they're about at $59 billion per year in gross revenues. That's awesome. Compared to Ping, if you want to ping it, or if you want to Yahoo, then you're talking about $3.2 billion and $4.6 billion. And Google has 67% of the market share. When you get online and you look for things, as a matter of fact, on my phone, I don't have it on me, but on my phone, it will tell you right in the, if you don't even have to type it in, you can say, hey, Google. And we think that if we Google it, we're going to get all of the answers that we're looking for, right? Or have you been disappointed by Google? Google doesn't really know what you, they'll give you suggestions. They'll give you a whole list of things that you can now go to that website and check it out. And by the time you finish reading it, you're already saying to yourself, this ain't going to work. What if we could conduct a God search? What if we could ask the question and God would answer us? As much as Google have the money, but their primary motive is not to really help you. They're a corporation. Guess what they want to make? They want to make money. So you getting on there and searching, they say, hey, is here. Whether you get the right one or not, that's not our concern. Now, they want to give you something. And don't get me wrong. They want to give you something. But we're not just looking for something. Like that commercial on TV that says, don't just settle with, what is it, average or the okay. Don't just settle with okay. You need the best. May I suggest to you that when you conduct a God search, the one who made you will also supply you with everything that you need. The psalmist is speaking from experience. He's not just talking from, well, let me just try this. Let me just write this thing about God. Evidently, he has gone through this life and he's seen some things that did not work. How many of y'all seen some things that did not work? You Google it and then you practice it and then all of a sudden you found yourself at a loss because you realize, hey, this may have been something good for somebody else because it was actually conducted on a limited research or it's somebody's opinion. When your life depends on it, you don't need opinions. When your life is in the midst of a crisis, what you're saying is, I need real answers. I need real answers. I don't need somebody to play games with me. I don't need somebody just to whisper in my ear and tell me sweet nothings. I need somebody that can give me the conclusion to this matter. And so he starts off by saying, teach me, O Lord. Teach me, O Lord. Now, I know that many of us assume that wisdom comes with age. Yeah, that's a good thought. But you got some old folk that don't know a whole lot. And then you got some young folk that think they know everything. Just because they got letters in front of their names and afterwards, that doesn't mean you put this thing to practice in life. Give me some good old homeschool common sense. That's why I call this a front porch talk, because when we think about it, those common sense things that we were taught, they got passed on from your grandma and your great-grandma. Now, some of it was right, some of it wasn't right. You know, like the story about why you cut the turkey in half or the ham in half when you cook it in the oven, and went on back to what grandma did, and she said, my oven won't big enough. The point is, you want to have information that works in your life. You want to be able to say, this is the truth. This is the truth. And it's not only truth that applies to you, but it's truth that ought to be shared. When God gave the command in the book of Genesis, be fruitful and multiply, it also included knowledge and understanding. Amen. And of all the information that, can I get on a stump for just a little bit? Of all the information that we have in this generation, this is one of the dumbest generations I've ever seen. People are ever going, and it annoys me. I'm on a stump now, okay, so I can do this. And we're having a front porch talk. But it annoys me how people get so distracted by facts, texting as they drive. One of the rules of understanding is that you pay attention. You can lose your life if you're not paying attention. So God wants us to be what? Fruitful. And he wants us to multiply spiritually. He wants us to be the type of people that can take information and turn it into knowledge and then have it as wisdom. God so wants to empower us that we would not be weak, but that we would be strong in the Lord. Listen, you only have one time through this life. And you can know everything that there is to know about everything. But if you don't know God, look at somebody and tell them, if you don't know God, you don't know anything. You better get to know him. You better get to know him. He cares more about you than anybody else. He can do more for you than anybody else. And look at somebody again and say, Google that. So when we think about information and knowledge, and when we think about information and knowledge, facts don't always go over or flow over into knowledge. First of all, information without action is worthless. You teach somebody and then you say, do you know it? Yeah, I know it. And what you going to do about it? Especially when test time comes, and people that you know, you told them. And they're sitting in class just looking at you like, okay. Information without action is worthless. But the second thing that we find is that information understood, when you understand something, it produces what we call knowledge. It produces knowledge. When you say, apply this, now it's knowledge. Now you're walking this thing out. When the Bible tells you to walk by faith and not by sight, and then you take that first step and you depend on God, that's when you have an understanding of who he is. But then the third thing that we have is that knowledge without purpose produces chaos. Three workers were working on a building. They asked one worker, he said, hey, what are you working for? He said, I'm working for a paycheck. So he went back to his little job, tapping away, sawing away. They asked the next guy, what are you working on? He said, I'm working on a door. See this drawing right here? That's what I'm working on. I'm working on a door. He had a little bit of knowledge, but he didn't apply it to a purpose. They asked the third man, said, what are you working on? He said, I'm working on a cathedral, and it's going to be wonderful. Somebody had told him that his work mattered and that it was far greater than just that little element or that little portion that he had been assigned to. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not just here in this world to just work on your little corner. You're here to work on a greater purpose of glorifying God. Amen. Of honoring. When you walk out of these doors, you will be representing the Lord God Almighty. Now, how much knowledge you take with you in doing that, that's going to depend on whether or not you pay attention to what God says to your heart. Anybody in the house? Everybody, if you're here, say, hey. I tried to get out of that habit, but I'm from a little place called Scottsburg, and that's where we greet one another. When we go down the road, if we know you, we'll kind of wave and say, hey. But if we don't know you, we'll put up a little finger and we'll go, hey, hey. So we have this way of communicating. What is it that the church of God possesses? And we know how to sing. We know how to shout. We know how to do a lot of church stuff. But do you know how to embrace the answers that God gives you and then go forth in the power of those answers and say, you know what? I'm going to change something today. Even if I don't change anything else but my attitude, something is going to be changed today for the glory and honor of God. So let's look at these three things that we are dealing with today, these three elements of what we call finding the truth and applying it in real answers. First of all, is the prayer that we pray. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. Teach me. But I don't just want to hear it in my ear. I want to just bury it in my mind. My goal of you teaching me is that I might keep it until the end. Now, some things you ought not to keep. Can I get an amen? You ought not to keep gossip. Why? Because even if it is good gossip, you know what? It can't do a thing for you except, guess what I know? You can't keep evil thoughts in your life. When I was in the military, lived in the dormitory, military dormitory with this guy from North Carolina, from Silas City, North Carolina. And I said, hey, what are you thinking about? He said, I'm thinking about robbing a bank. My goodness, if your life is filled with things that are negative, where will it take you? What cost will you pay? But when you get the truth, you hold on to it. Well, preacher, what do I need to have to hold on to it? You need what's called true commitment. Now, the psalmist is not just saying this, Lord, you give it to me, I'm going to keep it. He's found out from experience. He's found out from his walk with God that what God tells you matters. What God says to you always works. It never changes. Faith that Abraham had and faith that you have today, if it's from the Word and from what God says to you, it will work the same way it worked for Abraham, the same way it worked for David, the same way it worked for the apostles. It will work for you because God said it. And when you have that true commitment, I'm going to stick with this. I'm going to stay with this. When you have that commitment, God will always be at work and doing things and being involved in your life. Listen, you can't spend your life experimenting with this and that. I heard this song by Jerry Butler when I was growing up, and so I thought I'd adopt that as my slogan through life. Variety is the spice of life. No, it ain't. If you're thinking that you got a whole lot of options based on variety, let me tell you, you better hurry up and wake up. Why? Because some of these things that you hear are no good for you. Well, it worked for so-and-so. It ain't going to work for you. Trust me. It's not going to work. But when you have that commitment to what you know is true and what you know is right, listen to what Jesus said about this in John 14:6. He said, I am the way. So when you ask God, teach me your statutes, you're saying, okay, Jesus, show me the way. Not my way, but your way. I'm the truth. I'm the way, and I am the life. If you follow something else, I really don't know where you're going. As a matter of fact, when it comes to Google Maps, you're going to be off the chart. Google won't even know where you are. But when you follow God, when you start saying to yourself, God, you're in control, and I'm truly committed to you, you hang on to him. As a matter of fact, you don't have to hang on to him. He's going to hang on to you. The fact that you got the word inside of you, it produces such a gravity between you and God that the closer you get to God's word, the closer you get to him, the more he gets to do through you, and you start bearing this amazing thing called fruit. And God is glorified. But not only are real answers based on true commitment, but real answers are based on total consecration. Listen to what he says in this one, the next verse, 34. He says, give me understanding. How many of y'all asked for understanding? I prayed for it sooner than, you know, I used to, let me tell you how I got my understanding. Let me tell you. I'm going to testify myself. That way I always say, gossip don't have a thing to talk about because I say it myself. I used to work on my car, right? And every time I'd work on my car, I wouldn't tell my wife. I could take a part off. I could get it off real good, but Walter, I mean, I could get it off. But getting that thing back on. And I didn't pay attention always to every part that I had taken off. And that's when I get to praying on Saturday evening and had to get to church on Sunday. We only had one car. And my prayer was, Lord, give me understanding. What is the psalmist saying in this verse? He's saying that the Lord is the one that gives understanding. God is the one that gives insight. He's the one that gives direction. Another prayer that you could pray was, order my steps in your word. He's praying that God would take his law. Did you not know that the universe is composed of laws? Because you have all of these planets. You have all of these systems that work. And the reason why they work right is because God in righteousness established laws. And he's also established laws for your life. Laws that will cause you to do good things, accomplish great things for this amazing God that we serve. And so the psalmist prays fervently. Give me understanding and I shall keep your law. But notice the last part. Yes, I will observe it with my whole heart. He doesn't just want God to come into his life and give him things. He's asking for that understanding to know how to use it. You give a fool anything, he won't keep it long. But if you give a person who loves God something, they're going to keep it. They're going to retain it for a lifetime because they know that the Lord is good and that his mercy endures forever. We get to the final application of knowing how to find real answers. We have to think about God's treasured command. In this verse, the psalmist is again crying out to God, Lord, you've given me understanding. You've caused me to know your way, the pathway you'd have me to go. But now I pray a different prayer. Now I pray a prayer. Make me to go in the path of your commands. Now I want you to think about what Jesus said when he was looking at his disciples, what Jesus said. He said, now you're like sheep. And if you're a good sheep, you'll follow me. You'll know my voice, and you'll follow me. If you're a bad sheep, then you're not going to pay attention to my voice. You're going to wander off and find yourself in dangerous situations. God wants us to be sheep that know and that will go in the pathway of righteousness. As a matter of fact, he's prepared it for you. While you're trying to find out, well, what should I do now? I would start by praying. That'd be my start. But then I would also say, God, I want to treasure your commands. And I'm still working on this one. A lot of times God has conversations with me, and it's all because of my attitude in there always. Lord, how is this going to work? And why do I need, and nobody else, God said, I'm not talking to anybody else. I'm talking to you. I'm revealing to you my plan, my purpose, and my provision for your life. And what you've got to do is learn how to pay attention. You've got to love it. Anything you love, I guarantee you're going to stick with it. Amen. I married a wife 40-something. How long has it been? Long time ago. Yeah. Brother Mac, I stuck with it. How many of y'all know I love rice? Yes, rice is good for people. Anything you love. Now, what I'm asking you to do is not just to fall in love with the spouse. You need to do that. But if you love anything, you ought to love Jesus. Amen. Do you know why you ought to love him? You ought to love him because he first loved you. Amen. When you didn't even know yourself, God knew you, had figured you out, had numbered the hairs on your head. If you don't love anything else, would you please love Jesus? Everybody say, hey. Now, when we talked about that the first time, and we talked about the things that you need real answers for, you need real answers and commitment because of what is right. Sometimes we choose a wrong way and then we got to figure out, what do I do now? And that word, hey, the first time is telling you, whoa, wait a minute, don't go there. I never forget one time I had Daddy's tractor wide open. Why? Because it was Saturday evening and he had me in the field plowing, and I didn't want to be in the field plowing. So I had it, Brother Robinson, I had it wide open as fast as it could go. Then all of a sudden, through the dust, I saw this little short man running across the field. And he, along with a few other words, he was saying, hey! Stop me dead in my tracks. And he didn't just do it because he didn't want me to rush through it, but that piece of equipment that I was driving could have turned over. When God says, hey to you, stop. Stop. Listen to his voice. He's telling you, I want your attention. He's telling you, slow down. Lord, this is getting personal now. Come on. He's telling you, you don't know where you're going, but I know. I have a path for you. Slow down. And the second hey that we get to, and I know this is not Hebrew, but this is good preaching. The second hey is when you discover something. When I discovered that I could get those parts back on that car, hey! When is it that we're going to find that every time you pick up your Bible, you don't thumb through it, you start paying attention, and then God will show you wonderful things that you never knew before? God will show you how great he is. Then God will start showing you, here's your potential. You don't belong in this group, you belong here. You don't need that kind of attitude. You ought to have this one here. And that's when you start saying, hey, okay. Let me pay attention. The psalmist is speaking to God because he trusts God. Some of you that sit here every Sunday and you listen to the word of God, you listen to the service, do you trust God? Amen. And when you trust him, you're going to start discovering things about him. Yes. One, you're going to discover, can't nobody do you like Jesus. Hey, you're going to discover that God is good every day. Hey! The third hey that we introduced you to is that of when you really give it your all and you really surrender, and not only do you have true commitment and that consecration, but you also have a love for God's command so much that you treasure it. When you treasure something, you have every plan of coming back to it, right? You have every plan of not losing it. You put it in a safe place. And then when you know it's there and you take it out, you look at it, it's just like this. How many of y'all enjoy saving? Okay, I didn't get any hands. How many of y'all enjoy it when you go to your savings account, you got something in it? Then you go, hey, hey, hey. Wow, this is great, man. This is all right. How many of y'all enjoy going to the dentist? Ooh. But do you enjoy a bright smile? Yes. Hey, hey, hey. When you start realizing that God Almighty loves you, hey, hey, hey. And when you start loving him back and he loves you more, hey, hey, hey. God is an awesome God. He's a wonderful God. And when you can tell people, I walk with him, I talk with him, and I know that he is my own. When you discover the wonderful things about God, even in the worst times, you can still have a heyday. You can still have a good day. Because you know that God promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you. Let me get off the porch and sit down. But I just want to close with this. Jesus greets you every day. Jesus desires to walk with you every day. Don't let him have to shout to get your attention. You answer him back with a good old hey. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your amazing love and your awesome grace. You're such a wonderful God. Lord, I don't even have a vocabulary that could describe how good you are. But all I can do is say thank you. Thank you for being so amazing. Thank you for being so good and kind. Bless us to be good back to you, to answer in like kind, because after all, we have your spirit, we have your word, and we have your love. Bless us to do thy will. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give the invitation. There might be someone today that you don't have a hay in your life. You can get one, and they're free. We ask that you all stand. If you've never committed your life to the Lord, now would be a good day. Now would be a good time to say, yes, I'm willing to be a part of that. If you're not a part of this church family, you desire to be so, would you come?